Welcome to the Highlands College Podcast, where we try and find out about interesting things by talking to interesting people. Enjoy. Right, so I don't know, how do we want to start? Do we want to just do a quick round the table, or is that a bit formal? Or
I think it's good to introduce
it. Bit of introduction?
Yeah.
All right, I'm Paul. I'm a teacher at Highlands College, professional nerd. So I teach IT and game design. I'll pass over. Yeah.
I'm Noel, also known as Kins. I make music. That's it.
Brilliant. I'm Hugo. I'm the operations manager at Mind Jersey and a mental health first aid instructor.
Cool. And so we're here basically to have a discussion about mental health, how it's affecting different people, and get a few different voices on the subject, and to see kind of, you know, what if we can shed any extra light or anything, and that anyone who might listen to it might think, oh, that's relatable, or this might make me want to go and talk to someone about this, or actually maybe I've seen this in someone else and I can start broaching the conversation or doing something like that. So that's kind of the point of this conversation, and we'll see what comes of it. So if you're listening to it, it's probably been a good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it'll only be us three that have heard it because we won't put it out anyway. Cool. I guess, you know, Noel, one of the reasons, you know, well, you're a musician, talented musician, and one of your songs actively talks about mental health and struggles and things like that. And what kind of, I suppose it's a brave thing to do, because one of the biggest fault points for people, but I'm going to generalize, but especially kind of men, is actually engaging and talking about mental health, the struggles. What was your kind of journey to going down that road and making that?
Well, I dealt with mental health problems like a lot in my past, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But really it just sort of got to the point, I sat on that song for about 3 years, so everything that I said happened 3 years prior to the song actually coming out or whatever, but I still dealt with all them problems until basically the time I put the song out, and that's, I could only put the song out once I sort of overcame everything that I did in those times. But I felt like I was just ready myself. I wasn't really waiting for like something to sort of click or like something to happen. I was just sort of felt more in myself, that I was more confident to like sort of actually put material out there. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't thinking, oh, what someone else gonna think of what I'm putting out. I just put it out for myself, and then if people rated it, if people didn't, it didn't really mean much to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just put it out, so hopefully it would help someone else. That's the reason I put that one out first.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I suppose that's a big step as well, because you know, you're putting yourself on the line on a few different things, like artistically, and then personally, you know, because of the lyrics and the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
What was the response? You know, was there an immediate response? Was it a slow burn?
I think it was an immediate response, because I think locally, like a lot of people that sort of is like my age group, they knew I made music, they just never heard it before, type of thing. So like every time, like I'd see people out, they'd be like, "Oh, Noel's a rapper," but they never heard anything. Mm-hmm. They just thought I was another guy that was trash, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I was like, I went through the transition of like writing material out that was personal towards me, and then actually releasing it was a completely different sort of matter. I wasn't ready to do that if like someone put a gun to my head. Do you know what I mean? It was only, to be fair, at the beginning of like the lockdown, sort of when that sort of started, I just sort of felt like I had nothing to lose, and that's why. Mm-hmm. As soon as I'd done it, the reaction was pretty like insane, with like people sort of getting in touch with me and telling me how they feel themselves about themselves, you know, and their sort of life stories. And that was without me even, I did, like a lot of these people were strangers, do you know what I mean? I don't know them, but they obviously must have heard something that sort of like touched them for them to do that to me. But really, like, I was just basically saying how I felt and what I went through at the time.
So was the response in person? Was it on social media?
Social media mostly. I mean, because we're in lockdown, I didn't really see too many people.
Yeah, that's probably a very good point. Yeah.
But yeah, it was mostly over social media. But it's sort of all like someone saying something to me like on social media is like it would be the same way. Like in real life, I've seen a few people now where like they're sort of only like giving me my flowers for it now because they haven't seen me since. Sort of they've seen that. But even like to this day, like people like will send me stuff of them listening to it or like them sort of relating to it, telling me to make more stuff like that.
Wow.
But it's just like that sort of, yeah, that's the reason why I put that one out there first. So I was like, here's sort of me on a plate.
Yeah.
If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't.
It's as raw as it's going
to
get.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That's really, really cool. Because like one of the things, I've listened to your songs and I've watched your videos. Normally, when you go to like the comments section of like YouTube, it's a cesspool.
Oh, right? yeah, you get trolled.
Yeah, but then when I was looking at the comments on your videos, they're massively positive.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of a bit of a testament to what you've spoken about and how it's, you know, it's something that affects a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it sounds weird to say, but I think the reason why I got good at making music or I got to the level I'm at now, because I used to be terrible. Like, when I say terrible, I mean I was bad.
Right.
And then, like, the only reason I sort of got to that point is, like, sort of really to do with my mental health, because that was the only sort of thing I had to go to when everything was sort of going wrong, if that makes sense. Like, it was my only outlet.
Yeah.
Through, like, years of just me just working at it, I've just got to the point where, like, I evolved. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it's not like I'm talented, it's just I've done it more than you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I worked harder at doing that.
You
sort of certain
work,
things, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't want, like, people to think that, like, I just made one song and it was decent.
Yeah.
Or, like, do you know what I mean? Like, Elon Musk just didn't wake up one day and build a spaceship.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
yeah, he might have landed in one, but
exactly.
He didn't wake up and build
one.
That's
what I mean.
Lots of work.
So, it's like, I just, like, I don't want people to, like, sort of hide behind the fact that, like, oh, like, they've just done that because they were born good at it.
Yeah,
when it's like just put 10,000 hours in and you'll be good at things. Do you know what I mean?
So that's like we're talking years and years ago.
Yeah, I'm speaking like years, like years. Yeah. Like I started probably when I was like 14, 15. When like that's when my mental health sort of started, and it was the only thing I had to sort of use it to escape, sort of thing.
So it was an outlet.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But like ever since then, I've just got better at that, and I've learned how to deal with my mental health more, like within myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how to think like rationally compared to like my train of thought used to be like, here's a problem, like it's the worst thing that's ever going to happen after it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there was no like rational train of thought where it was like, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen. It was like situation, worst possible outcome. That was it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's only after years of like learning and sort of working on myself that I figured out that that's never really the case.
Mm-hmm.
That the worst possible outcome 99% of the time is not happening.
Yeah, yeah. Like the like catastrophizing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's what I was doing like all the time with sort of anything that happened to me in my life. Do you know what I mean? And even things that didn't happen, my brain would like create problems for itself that didn't exist.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, yeah.
That's. Gosh, I mean, it's such a human thing to do, but at the same time, it can be really debilitating, like that catastrophizing.
Yeah, like it was like I did like there was a few years where like I didn't leave the house really. When I did, it sort of ended badly. Like I would be there and I would like think, all right, right, I'm just gonna try and go out with my mates today.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I would do it, like it would end up with me panicking. I'd say I'd have a bike with me or something, I'd sprint home. Like that's how scared I was.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't taking the bike home that would get me home quicker, I was sprinting home.
Right.
Like it was like pure primal fear that overcame me all the time. I didn't even know why.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that was what was scary to me. I was like, why do I feel like this? And then I'd feel physically ill.
Yeah.
Because I would be like, why do I feel sick all the time? I was going to the doctor like, oh, I need someone to check my stomach because I felt like I was going to vomit all the time.
Yeah.
But it was just nerves, do you know what I mean? It was just sort of me being anxious.
Wow. That's like that's isolating. Like
like 100%. Yeah. And I went into like, I got to a point where like I was just sort of going backwards, where I was like, I'm just locking myself in the room. Mm-hmm. Like I'm locking myself in my bedroom, and like no one's getting me out. You can try, but I'm not moving.
Wow. That's I mean, that's when you think about that kind of anxiety, and this is something, you know, we've spoken about, you know, earlier, was that anxiety, that kind of manifestation in terms of from something that's mentally affecting you to a physical affection.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty kind of tough for anyone to take, especially when you're, well, like when you're a young teenager. Hugo, I would, you know, bring you in on that in terms of, from my point of view, in terms of education, I see people that are going in through those awkward years. You know, old people tended to say, "Oh, the teenage years are the best years of your life." And I always reflect, went, "No, they were bloody awful, because you're going through all these different changes. Yeah, yeah. You're going through, like, you're having to kind of, you're being told to, you've got to map out your life now." At 16, it depends on these five exams you take as to whether you're going to be a rocket scientist, or you're going to be a bin man, or you're going to do X or Y, or and then everything else on top of it. And then, like you say, then something like that happens and you can't explain it.
Yeah.
Is that, Hugo, is that something you're seeing an awful lot of, or is it isolated case, or is it growing? Or
I think there's no doubt that teenage years are, you know, very chaotic for a lot of people, and very much informed by, you know, your all sorts of factors, but your home environment, what you've experienced growing up, and even if it's really standard, teenage years is just tough for a lot of people, because you are this melting pot of neural chaos as well as hormones, as well as pressures from school and family, and also that kind of forging of relationships and everything else. Even if you've just got kind of a you know, for want of a better word, like standard life, so without anything like really different going on. But I want to say wow, Noel, for like just what a journey you've been on. I mean, both professionally and personally, and to be able to so eloquently kind of describe it now that you've kind of, you know, you're on this path that you can reflect back at what you've been through. And it's so important to have people like you as role models to younger people, because I'm sure you, I mean what advice would you give yourself now that you've kind of, it sounds like you've done a lot of this work yourself, which shows an incredible kind of inner strength. You know, not everyone has that ability, and people do need support, and we're lucky now that there is support out there for people. But you know, what kind of advice would you give your younger self?
I think what I figured out a bit too late was when, like, I sort of was going through this at the beginning, I sort of freaked out, and I basically, any sort of thing that I had going on in my life, I just completely like disbanded it. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I need to deal with what I feel right now. But really, I had a goal. As soon as I had a goal, my mindset started to change. Do you know what I mean? It's like little things, like realizing I could do certain things by, like, when I was making the music was the main sort of focus for me with the goal, because I had the goal of, I want to make good music. So as soon as I started getting on that thing, oh, I'm getting better at this, I was like, well, if I can do this with music, I can do it with, say, exercise. Oh, if I can do it with exercise, then I can do it with work. Oh, if I can do it with work, do you know what I mean? It just carries on going, and then your mindset is a more positive mindset. It sounds sort of silly to say, and sort of like condescending to put it into just, oh, all you need is a goal, but the goal sort of changed my whole way of thinking, do you know what I mean? And that was just sort of how it started. I didn't really, like, I remember going to like CAMS and stuff like that back in the day, and like I didn't think that personally helped me. Like, it could help other people, but like for me personally, I just sort of needed to go on that journey, like myself, and like with the people around me that loved me. Like, as soon as I opened up to them and they sort of understood the situation, they sort of like sort of rallied behind me, where I thought they were all just sort of going to take the piss out of me, which isn't really ever was going to happen. It's just the way I was thinking at the time, because my brain was a bit foggy.
Mental health struggles are so unique to everyone, and that's a really good point to say that, you know, what works for someone doesn't work for somebody else. It's very unique in having that kind of insight about yourself. And it's really, and it's not kind of simplistic, but goals and focus when it comes to dealing with problems with your mental health are really important, because striving towards achieving something, and even they don't have to be really big goals, and I think you undersell yourself a bit about your you know, your talent in your music, because you know, you've worked really hard to get to the point where you've been able to release this these pieces of music and videos that they are not only exceptionally good pieces of music videos, and I've looked at the comments as well, that goes against my basic rule of life to read the comments but I've read the comments, and you know, there's people from all over the world saying how brilliant it is, how incredible it is, because it really connects with people because of that openness around saying, hang on a minute, you know, I've had my struggles, I'm talking about my struggles, I'm using this type of expression to talk about them. And there was nothing but support there.
It was good to see, to be fair. It was, I was sort of like more happy, I wasn't, because I'd already sort of dealt with them problems when I released that, I was sort of more happy for like everyone sort of locally around me to be like, well, I put that out, so you do your bit now. Do you know what I mean? Because no one's going to take the piss out of you. I've done it, I swear on this, but but like, because I put my bit out and it was so personal, I was like, well, no one really has an excuse anymore to not do what they want to do, really. Do you know what I mean? Because I've just put something out that's so close to the heart. I could have got trolled all day long. Do you know what I mean? But I didn't. But that was only because it was true to what I believe in.
What kind of things do you think stop young people, and particularly young men, because you know, this is a conversation around around young people, but particularly young men, unfortunately, within, you know, the mental health circles, you know, our charity Mental Health Services, we see it running too late with young men before they reach out for help. Issues become really serious. And of course, the kind of the statistics at the moment are the biggest killer of men under 50 is suicide in our in our society, which is shocking. And you know, we're trying to tackle that right at the root with young guys. What do you think contributes towards the stigma around reaching out for help?
It's hard to say, because at the time I trusted my friends with anything. I would tell them anything, but I didn't want to tell them about the way I felt. It became more apparent because it was so obvious, like I was pulling a whitey near enough every day. But like, I remember like when I was 16, and then sort of things were happening at home, and like, say my mum didn't know if she could pay the rent, and like all these things are happening. I remember I was fine one day, completely fine, normal kid, and then out of nowhere it was just like as if something hit me like a truck, and then I was just gone for like 3 years. Like I didn't know what was going on with my body, and I'm sure every young man that's going through that as well doesn't really know what's going on either. And I tried to go like to a doctor, but realistically a doctor's not going to help me in that situation. Do you know what I mean? I didn't know what was going to happen. It was like, it got to the point, I got to breaking point before I sort of had to sit there and think, well, am I going to get better myself, or am I just going to sit in my room until I die, basically? That was like the realness of it. I was like, I need to switch up, I need to figure out how I'm going to get better, or I'm never going to get better. Do you know what I mean? It was sort of like a scary sort of moment when you're like sort of sitting there thinking. There's times I got hospitalised, and there was an ambulance coming, there was police coming to my door, arresting me because I was just being an absolute nutcase. And that was embarrassing at the same time. So as soon as something like that happens, you don't want to go back to everyone and be like, sorry guys, I've just been nicked, I've just been sent to the hospital, do you know what I mean? I don't know what's going to happen to me. And like, when all loads of things like that are going on in a young person's mind, they're not really thinking about like, oh, like how do you get better? They're just thinking that was embarrassing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like as if I've just done that.
Yeah.
As if like they, it's not like a thing that it's like an impulse thing. Like you can't help how you act, how you think, how you speak. Do you know what I mean? It just comes out. And I hope like a lot of young people, especially like men, just speak before that point, because even if you speak and the person doesn't react the way you'd like them to, at least you've got it off your chest then. At least you spoke to someone. If they don't react the way you want them to, then go to your other mate.
Yeah.
Go to your mum, go to your dad, go to the teacher at school, do you know what I mean? Mm. Because I guarantee you, not a lot of people are going to turn around and laugh at you. Okay. Next to no one's going to laugh at you for coming out and saying things like that, because even the bully at school is going to be like, oh shit, I feel a bit like this too sometimes, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's great advice. Yeah. It is great advice.
It's kind of culturally, for men, it's that kind of, I don't know. I mean, I'm a bit older than you, Noel, but it's that same kind of, when I think back to like when I was 16 to 19 to mid 20s, and that kind of roller coaster, and even beyond. So I'm saying up to that point, but that was probably mid 20s was when I started to recognize, actually, there are issues with mental health. There's issues with your own mental health. Mm-hmm. There's things you've got to do and you strive to kind of manage, but the number one most difficult thing is telling someone else about it.
Yeah.
And whether that's, I'd say, like a cultural thing or you know, something within, you know, the male psyche, that I don't know if it's passed down or it's the stiff upper lip or if it's something like that, but it's, there's almost a stigma to going to someone and saying, this isn't right.
Yeah.
And outwardly everything is cool, but inwardly something's massively wrong and I can't put my finger on it. So when I tell someone about it, how are they going to put their finger on it? And actually what I got to do is I just got to like suck it up. I got to toughen up. I got to, you know, man up. I got to do this, this and this, which then can exacerbate the problem. Because there's no release. It's that inner turmoil.
Yeah, it can just snowball.
And that's something that I've seen. Well, it's some experience personally. It's something I see kind of year on year with youngsters that come through. Cause teach IT, it's predominantly male. And, you know, you pick up on signals from, I've got no training, no mental health, you know, official training. You know, I've done some things on mindfulness. But just by being a person amongst other people of that age for so many years, you see signs. And sometimes all it takes is a little conversation, you're okay, and then these barriers can either raise up, in which case, you know, actually there's definitely something going on here, or they can crumble. And it's that kind of, it's really difficult to describe without having those expertise, but by being in touch.
Yeah.
And I say it's something that's developed over time, because we're seeing it as anecdotally a growing issue, especially over the last 18 months as well, where there's been this black cloud of, you know, lockdowns, lockdown lights, isolation. You know, you're going from a medium screen during the day to a big screen to relax, to then a small screen just before you fall asleep. And, you know, that's kind of, I'm kind of losing track of the point I'm trying to make, but it seems, I think it is, although now it's been more identifiable because we're more aware, I would say it's probably a generational thing that we've seen. It's just now that people are starting to talk about it, you know, but it's not, people aren't talking about it enough. It's taken people like you to actually put a voice out there on a platform that then lots of people have seen your and listened to your music and reacted to your music. And when you see that kind of reaction, you realise, crikey, this is affecting an awful lot of people, and to varying degrees as well. But that's where it's like, okay, you know, who's the quiet one that's not saying, that's the thing, you know, there's so many.
Yeah, there is. It's a lot.
And that's, you know, that's one of those. And I say I've meandered around a thought I was just having out loud there, you know. But that was one of the things that we're kind of seeing in terms of, I mean, I don't know. Your outlet was music, and it's something that you got very good at, and you obviously spent a lot of time on the outlet because you know you've started to produce some amazing stuff, You know, is it always, you know, Hugo, I'm going to go to you as the expert. You know, what sort of things do you find young people doing as an outlet in terms of, you know, is there anything, you know, consistent, or is it a passion, or is it...
So it's so important to know what makes you tick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you obviously connected with your music, mm-hmm. and having that, like you say, that outlet, that focus, you were able to kind of have goals with it. You know, you knew what you wanted to achieve. But knowing what you enjoy and brings you happiness, mm-hmm. is part of self-care. And that can come in all sorts of ways. You know, mm-hmm. we can do things without realizing that kind of contribute to our self-care. You know, whether that's just having a daily routine of having a nice long hot shower, or having some downtime that's away from a screen, or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But talking about kind of the expressing those feelings, whether it's because obviously young people, we've just talked about the struggles that young people find in verbalizing,
mm-hmm.
and having the right person to tell about what's going on for them.
Yeah.
Often it's someone who's outside of their immediate circles because of that shame or fear element. So it might be a teacher or, mm-hmm. you know, their peers. But also through other ways of expressing, you know, like you've shown us through your music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the question was now.
Well, yeah, I suppose I was, you know, you alluded to before, you said, you know, you weren't good at music when you started, but you put the time in, you got good at it. And it was like, you know, I've spoke to students, and the range of, you know, of the things that people do to, you know, it's from, you know, making music, it's from riding bikes, spear fishing, we've got, you know, the whole host. And these seem to be, you know, people that are fairly in tune. But as you alluded to before, when you're not in tune with how you're doing mentally, in terms of your mental health, you can begin to lock away. You can begin to go into that cycle of, it's almost a self-destructive cycle at times when everything is so dark, everything's so hopeless. The smallest problems become massive problems, and I suppose is there, you know. Looking at that and then trying, you know, if it's really difficult to get out of bed and walk to the fridge, then it becomes really difficult to then find an outlet and stuff like that. And, you know, is there any tools or techniques people can use to break those cycles, or is there?
Mind UK did a survey for young people during lockdown last year, just to ask people what was happening for them. And as expected, young people were really struggling. You know, there was high levels of anxiety and depression, and three of the most popular kind of coping strategies were gaming,
mm-hmm.
Watching films, and music.
Yeah.
So kind of probably quite predictable,
mm-hmm.
but things that are taking young people out of the kind of pain of their own mm-hmm. thought processes.
Yeah,
yeah, just distracting them from that. And when you are, like you say, in a situation where you might not be able to go out with your peers,
mm-hmm.
And connect with people on other levels.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the point is that, you know, how much were you taught about well-being, you know, as a youngster, about looking after or identifying how you are?
I think the first time I ever sort of spoke to someone about mental health was Tina.
Mm.
And that was when I was around 15 to 16. Yeah. But okay. that's the only time someone had ever spoke to me about my mental health. And I mean, even after that, it wasn't like really a thing. I remember even when I was got like hospitalized and I was in the hospital, there was just four ladies in the room and they were just like, "How'd you feel?" And I was like, "Fine." And they were like, "All right, see you later."
Mm.
Shocking, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was at like 3 a.m. I was out of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just walked straight out with there was police officers standing at the door and I was like, "See you later." And just walked straight out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's when I sort of realized that, like, the only way you're going to get better is by yourself. Like, people really, like, they're not going to help you unless you're helping yourself. That's the main point about it, really. Do you know what I mean? Now it's good because there's a lot more people speaking about it, and it's sort of like, it's not like demonized as what it used to be. I think kids are like sort of learning now, especially even on social medias. If you go on Twitter, like everyone is speaking about the the mental health problems. Like, everyone is on there, like just like saying anything they want really on there. And I think that helps people to be like, oh, I feel like that as well. Then they start saying it to their mates, like, this is relatable. And they're like, oh yeah. But they all don't even know like what the real problem is. They just know they all feel the same way. Do you know what I mean? Not everyone is like, has the same sort of, like me saying I had anxiety, it's like someone else who has anxiety will be completely different to me. I have completely different sort of symptoms and the way they are and the way they deal with things. So it's hard to like, for me to say to anyone who's a kid to deal with things in one right way, do you know what I mean? Because it's not a right way, it's just something that they need to deal with themselves, and that takes time to figure out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you've kind of highlighted that, like, historically there's this kind of medical model mm-hmm. of mental health which is quite terrifying for society yeah. and for people in general. Yeah. You know, the way that perhaps professionals have responded to people and the kind of, you know, the way that mental health issues were portrayed in the media, in films historically, has left a real imprint on us as a community. But we're very much moving away from that towards a more social model of well-being and treating each other with kindness and compassion. The last 18 months have really shown how we've come together as a community, and
of course,
you know, kindness has been you know, a buzzword of 2020 mm-hmm. because we know how hard it's been for lots of people to deal with the issues during the pandemic. And I suppose that we, when it comes to mental health, I'm sorry you had to go through a lot of that on your
own.
I know but I really feel, you know, that no one should have to go through that on their own. I'm pleased that you had a support network around mm-hmm. you that was able to help you. But, you know, with things like mental health first aid, this isn't a sales pitch, but it's a course that just enables people to be familiar and comfortable with talking about people's mental health, identifying things in your own mental health that might be causing you challenges, and then offering support to other people. And that's that low level reaching out support that, for example, if those four women in that room had done that and offered that kind of kindness, compassion, and, you know, you felt like you were being listened to and you had an opportunity to talk, you wouldn't have felt so isolated and on your own.
I would have spoke.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. it was just the fact that they had clipboards in front of them and they were like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
While there was police officers standing there as if, do you know what I mean? As if I was like schizophrenic or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof, yeah.
So that's, like, that's like, that was when I was scared, because I was like how bad am I? I didn't really know anything about myself. No one knew anything about me. That's why the clipboards are out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't really know how to sort of navigate that sort of situation. The only thing I wanted to do was get out of the room.
Yeah.
And sort of like run away from it, do you know what I mean? Because that's just what I was in a cycle of doing, is running away or beating a problem up, basically.
Yeah. So now, because you've like got to this point in your journey where you are, you know, you've kind of self-confessed, feel like you're in a good place, mm-hmm. you've had amazing feedback, you're kind of, hopefully the response to your music has been empowering and positive to like give you lots of energy to do more. Mm-hmm. You know, what's next for you, and how do you manage your mental health now?
I mean, I think now it's a lot easier to manage than when I was younger, because like I've went through it now. So there's just little things. There's one thing that I actually do all the time, and it sounds stupid, but every time I feel nervous, I'll say I'm well excited. Like, it sounds weird,
It's good.
But it works. Good
strategy.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And next time you feel nervous, just look in the mirror and go, I'm so excited.
That's a great tip.
And like, and you actually, look, I've done it before, like, I perform and stuff, if I'm nervous, I'd be like, I'm so excited, this is decent, let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then out of nowhere, you don't feel nervous anymore. It's only mm-hmm. because you're thinking about the way you physically feel in, like, a bad way, like, a negative way.
Yeah.
But if you're like, this is actually a funny feeling, like, let's go, I'm keen to get involved with what I'm about to get into, and then you just get excited.
It's a really powerful strategy, because, you know, if we keep telling ourselves something, then we manifest that 100%. And we become it.
Yeah, 100%.
And you've just shown that that's how you do it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like literally all the time. Once a week, at least. Just as if I'm like nervous about anything. I used to do it before, like I spoke to girls and everything.
Yeah.
I'm well excited. I wasn't, but I pretended I was, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that, I like that. Yeah, I'm gonna totally steal that one. Yeah, I'm well excited because it's such a simple thing, but it's like
it works.
You know, that little trick of actually this is gonna knock me back on track here. Yeah, this is gonna like reset my mindset for this, and yeah.
And it's I remember when things were really bad. I would sort of know when I was about to feel nervous, like little twinges in my stomach, or like there'd be little feelings like my palms would get sweaty, and then I'd instantly think, oh, it's about to get bad. Do you know what I mean? Like before it even happened, I'd be like, right, I'm locking myself in for a panic attack here. And I would usually get them when I thought like that.
Yeah.
But if you get into the sort of like rhythm of being like, oh, my palms are sweaty because the room's a bit too hot probably.
Yeah.
Like just little things, like think, like just make, forcing yourself to think a bit more rationally, or like that everything isn't sort of the end of the world. Not every sort of situation you're in is like the consequence is like final, where it's like this is the worst thing that's ever going to happen to me ever.
It's that catastrophizing.
Yeah. And it's like sort of dealt with it, sort of like with a bit of humility as well. It was a bit like. I'm actually panicking over feeling like this, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's quite embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, joking around with myself, do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
With all of them little things, I sort of, like, turned the corner, but it took years. It wasn't a thing that, like, I'd done overnight. It was a thing that took actual years for me to feel a little bit better, and I still have my bad days now, do you know what I mean? So it's not all smooth sailing.
That was really helpful to kind of share that connection between your mind and your body. So clearly, because you've said how terrifying it was being a youngster and experiencing those physical responses to what's going on in your mind. And it's like you said, Paul, it can be completely debilitating. And one person's experience of anxiety is not necessarily going to be the same as someone else. But they might say, actually I do feel that to a certain extent. But then getting to that stage where you have identified the almost trigger feelings and then having a mental strategy in place to arrest that is an incredible process to go through and a point to get to.
Yeah.
And hopefully just sharing that is even possible will be really, really helpful for some people.
Yeah, it was a thing that I had a fair few panic attacks before I got to that point, do you know what I mean? Because I had to go through them so much to be like, oh, this is how it can feel before that happens. But then when I started sort of being able to rationalise things, I was like, I feel like that before I get on a roller coaster, do you know what I mean? I feel like this before, like, I'm about to go on stage. It doesn't mean I'm going to have a panic attack. It just means that sort of something is sort of like happening within me that I'm thinking about. Doesn't exactly mean that it's the end of the world. It could be the best thing that's ever happened to me that I'm just not going to do because I feel like I'm scared.
Well excited.
Yeah, well excited.
Yeah.
I'm well excited. Yeah. This is about to be a roller coaster.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah.
Well, what would you say to, because we find, you know, this is a generational thing as well, you know, perhaps the older generation don't have the same outlook on mental health as the younger generation. The visibility of message wasn't there, as you said, Paul, the kind of that stiff upper lip and not reaching out for support, perhaps issues with your mental health seen as a sign of weakness. What would you say to challenge those kind of attitudes?
I mean, really, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I mean, like,
I feel a song coming on.
I've spoke to a few sort of like middle-aged people, and no offense to them, but even my dad's, I remember when I used to feel bad and he'd be like, get the fuck over it. That's literally what he'd say to me, do you know what I mean? Like, straight up, he'd be like, what are you doing? Like go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, have a day off, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember at the time that would like infuriate me, and it would make, because he thought that I was just sort of being a pansy about it when it's really that wasn't the crack. But even like now, yeah. He knows sort of what sort of went on like within me, and but he'll still joke around about it to me now, and he'll be like, "Have a day off, eh?" But he's joking now. But yeah. He sort of I think until someone experiences it to someone close to him, I don't think they would ever change. Me saying something or anyone saying something to someone who's like a 50 plus year old, they're not going to change the way they think. They're still racist, do you know what I mean? So they're not, it doesn't matter what you say to them, really, they're not going to listen.
It's the experience.
Yeah, exactly. They need to experience it for themselves.
Well, you know, I can see exactly what you're saying there. Like, it is, until you've seen or you've felt it or...
Yeah.
You know, then it's not tangible.
No, it's not real.
Know? Yeah,
it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's we see it online all the time. You know, and we saw it with like people. You know, when you know, because it's largely, like you say, generational. For a lot of time, millennials were getting bashed online for being kind of too. You know what? Yeah, but then actually, they're the ones that are combating this feeling, you know, they're the ones that are combating these issues, combating them with themselves, raising awareness, and still finding the pitch as well to get it out.
Yeah.
Or it was, again, I'm just referring back to, you know, personal experiences personally, and then, you know, professionally in terms of, you know, the young people I'm dealing with. And it's really cool that young people are actually able to come forward now, and like even in like the last 10 years, so like, you know, when, you know, kind of you were of the age that would be at college, very few students were able to come forward. To be honest, the only clues back then, and this is only 10 years ago, the only clues back then that someone was struggling with their mental health outwardly, it was if you saw someone's sleeve was slightly rolled up, and you saw that actually their outlet was manifesting itself in self harm potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was often. I remember being a very young, very green teacher, and seeing that, and not really knowing how to deal with it. And the only way you could deal with it, very fortunate, I had a very good line manager. I went, you know, this person's in my room. We can't let them go home. But what do I do? And they said, well, actually, you've just got to talk to him. And it was like, what? I've got to talk to him. I spend all day talking to people. I talk about like boring IT stuff. But then I've actually got to go and approach this person about something that I'm, you know, woefully, in my own thoughts, woefully underprepared. But actually, a big part of it is you just need to be a decent human being about it. And so when you ask this person, you know, I've noticed that. Actually, you know, we do have people at the college, counsellors, things like that we can go through. And it was a bit of a breakthrough for this person. And it was, you know, it probably like one of the proudest moments, you know, of my professional career was being able to liaise this person to someone who was equipped to deal with it. But then I also cringe and think and panic about the conversations I had, but also the ones I've missed.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, that's always a big kind of gut-wrenching feeling, because ultimately I'm there to teach people how to use computers and create computer games.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you want to be human about it, and you know that people are struggling, but you can't always see the signs. And now we're seeing it more, and that's why it's really cool. So we don't have to be necessarily on the lookout for the sleeve that isn't rolled down properly. Students are expressing themselves verbally now. Students are starting to actually come up to you and say, I'm not all right, or even an instant message, or this is happening. Yeah. You know, I've had messages where someone say, I'm struggling with my mental health today. Mm-hmm. And you can go, right, actually, now we have some paths we can go down. So that generational shift is really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's awesome to see. But again, it's those vocal people like yourself that are saying, look, everyone's dealing with it to an extent. Everyone has to manage their mental health, but how it's done is different for everyone. That's also the thing you're saying. It's not a clipboard thing.
No.
It's not like we go right here, right, well, you know, blah 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 blah, you've got to take this pill, you've got to do this, and you've got to, you know, make sure you get out for a run 5 o'clock every day, and then actually just toughen up a bit, you know.
Sign
there. Yeah, that's it. Sign there, off you pop. You know, and so that's kind of one of the more interesting things is what works for some people wouldn't necessarily mm-hmm. work for others. So you channeling everything into music is not the correct approach for me, because first of all, I don't know anything about music. I know how to listen to it, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'd get out and go diving and see, you know, and that's like my main way to do it. But then if I tell someone else, oh, in the middle of winter, go out diving, and if you do it at night time, by the way, it's even better. And they look at me like I'm a madman.
Yeah.
And then you talk to someone else, and they say, well, I read a bit of Sylvia Plath, and I'm like, you know, and so it's those getting people to understand and come forward, and then look, and it's so tricky. It's such a spider's web of different.
It is. Things, but yeah. One thing that I'd say does work, which is quite a standard approach, is that, okay, it's fantastic that you've seen a shift in people coming forward to verbalise how they're feeling, but we did talk about the quiet ones.
Yeah.
We did talk about the ones that you know that aren't okay, who aren't talking. Now, one of our very standard messages is to ask twice.
Yes.
So, A, it's okay to talk about it. I can just imagine someone coming to you and saying, oh, you need to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I teach IT and I need to talk about feelings now
and
emotions. Yeah. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, talking, like reaching out to somebody. Don't be afraid to reach out to your friends, your family, your colleagues, particularly if you get that feeling and trusting that feeling when you look at someone and you think, actually, they're not okay.
Yeah.
Because there's no harm in asking. There's no harm in asking.
Yeah.
Babykins, you don't seem okay, mate. And you might go F off to start with, but if you keep saying it, you know, you just don't seem your usual self. Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then at some stage, that person might come and say, actually, I'm not. I need a bit of help.
Yeah.
And we're talking about that early intervention. We're talking about reaching out and saying it's okay to reach out before things get really bad, before you get really terrified and really on your own. And then it gets this big snowball. And, you know, your journey could have gone another way, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Yeah.
I know that. Like, I still think about that all the time. It's like, if I didn't turn the corner that day, maybe the next day, I might not be here now. Do you know what I mean? I can't, like, say... I remember back then thinking, there's no way I'd make it to the age I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even, like, that much older than what I was then. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I remember being 18 and I was like, I won't be able to get a job. Like, I won't be able to do anything in life that people want to do. I wouldn't even want to, even if I had all the money in the world, I wouldn't go travelling. I couldn't do any of that.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean? I didn't trust myself with anything. I didn't trust anyone else.
Hmm.
So I didn't really see, like, any future for me. But that's why, say, I've got a mate as well called Michael Veloso. He's a tattoo artist.
Mm-hmm.
And say he would just do art every day. I would do music every day. That was just my focus. But I didn't have like a think in the future, oh, I'm going to be a rapper when I'm older. I was just like, I'll get better at this every day. And every single day, when you get that little bit better, until you look back on it and you go, shit, I'm good.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's exactly what Michael Veloso done. He's a tattoo artist now.
Yeah.
When like when he started drawing, he probably couldn't draw a stick man.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like just a 10,000 hour thing.
That's a really... You know, that's going from a really dark place, isn't it, in yourself?
Yeah,
when you can't see a future.
Yeah.
But you've proven by what you're saying that sometimes you have to take it day by day.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I wasn't thinking about tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? I was just like, let's just do this today.
Yeah.
And then I'd go to sleep. And then when I'd wake up, I'd be like, right, let's do it again today. I didn't think about, oh, like, what's happening next week? Oh, I need to, like, I remember, like, at the time, and then people were, like, trying to force... Like, I was getting forced to try and work when I couldn't possibly work, even if I gave it a go. But at the time as well, it was like things where, say, at home, like, I didn't know if, like, me and my mum were going to get kicked out of the gaff. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like, so I was like, I need to work too. I wanted to work, do you know what I mean? But I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I would get a job for, like, 2 days and I'd walk out.
Yeah.
Because I'd have a panic attack and I wouldn't go back because I'd be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Little things like that. So... After that happened a lot, then I was like, right, I just need to take this day by day myself. If people don't like it, then, do you know what I mean? F them, basically.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it day by day. And then eventually it gets to the point where you're like, right, so I've got to this point today, right, tomorrow I'll finish, I'll do that. And then it gets to the point like, all right, next week, we can do that next month. Do you know what I mean? As time goes on, you start saying, all right, next year, boys, we're going to do this, 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 this. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, slowly, yeah, just like rebuild how the way you think from the day to day to the week to week to the month to month to the year to then you can just start building. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Building that foundation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's a really inspirational kind of story and process that you've been through, and that's a really good way for me to ask. So, what's happening in the next 5 years?
Well, well, the thing at the moment, we're just sort of trying to make like a lot of music, really. And if it's good, then we'll put it out. If it isn't, then we'll just keep it in the box. But like, obviously, like right now, I'm not thinking, oh, I'm gonna be a famous rapper or anything. Like, I still have a job. I'm still like trying to progress in my career as well. Do you know what I mean? So this is just a thing that I do in my spare time to, like you said, keep my mind off other things. So like throughout my whole day, I'm busy at work, I'm doing my work stuff, and as soon as I get home, I'm doing my music stuff. So as the music starts rolling, if something big happens and it, say, something comes in, then I will obviously follow the dream of doing the music. But until that point, I'm sort of focused on my career just as much as I am on my music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's like good to have not just one sort of vision, but like have different sort of things you can go to. Like, if one thing doesn't work out, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, it does not matter. You can start switching your skill set. Do you know what I mean? Translate the skills into something else, or you can do this.
Yeah.
So I wasn't just like performing the music. I was sort of making the music. I was sort of engineering the vocals. There was a lot of things going into it that I had no idea how to do. And now nowadays, if you put me in any studio, I know how to do it. I can play the piano. Do you know what I mean? I can do like a lot of things just because I tried to do a lot of things. Even if it didn't work out, it didn't work out. I still gave it a go. Same thing at work. I realised I don't want to do this anymore. Sack it. Go down another career path that you like. Not everything's a final thing. You don't have to work in finance your whole life. You know what I mean?
Like, wise words. Wise words. Do something that's good for your soul.
So,
so let's kind of wrap it up. Like, you know, we're talking about men's mental health. We're talking about the importance of breaking down stigma, reaching out for support. What would you say? What would you say are the best ways to reach young guys?
Tell your mates straight away. I think if you don't tell your friends, even if you like, I know it's so hard to say this to people because I wasn't even that guy myself, so I can't really sit here and say to do something when I didn't do it. But if I told my friends straight away, then I wouldn't have snowballed into sort of what I did, because the more I tried to hide it from everyone around me, the worse it got, until the point where I couldn't hide it anymore and I was just sort of all over the place. But if I told my mates straight away, I think even if it's not your mates, if it's your mum, your dad, any sort of anyone, it doesn't really matter who it is, but the first time you sort of feel something where you're like, well, that's a bit strange, I don't usually feel like this, straight away address it. And this is like to people who haven't even felt anything yet. Do you know what I mean? Don't even realise they've got an issue. Because like, sometimes, like me, I was fine one day, next day I wasn't. So as soon as you feel it, address it, and then you can deal with the problem. If you don't want to deal with it with certain people, then you don't have to, but deal with it with someone. Do you know what I mean? Not on your own. And then you can just figure out between each other what's best for you. What do you want to do? Do you want to speak to someone? All right, if you don't want to, that's fine, but there has to be another way that's going to sort of make your mental a bit better. Like, maybe get like what I done, I focus on music. That helped me personally. Right, do something like that. Right, now what's next? Then people will start coming to you and say, oh, by the way, mate, I felt like that before. And then you can start a little sort of, not a support group, but like, that's basically what you become with sort of the people you know, your peers, your friends. And people can look at it and laugh at it as much as they want to, but the thing is, you're okay. Do you know what I mean? You're okay with everyone. And the people that are laughing aren't. That's it.
Definitely. Thank you very much, everyone. It's been awesome chat. I personally got an awful lot, and I'm buzzing from this, actually. This is really cool. Like, I've got a lot from this chat, and you know, it's just cool to actually hear people talk, you know, so openly about stuff. Yeah. And thank you very much for your honesty and your time. It's, you know, been really, really great.
Thank you. We'll look forward to seeing you.